Page 132. Remember that we want to prove the lemma, so we want to prove the central limit theorem for this Sn, which is a sum of independent indicators. So we want to use Lindeberg's theorem. So all we need to do is we need to check Lindeberg's condition. Let us first define the centered random variables x tilde p for any prime number p. This is just the indicator xp, and you subtract its expectation from it. But its expectation is a number between 0 and 1. Therefore, these shifted random variables x tilde p also still have the property that their absolute value is less than or equal than 1. And this is inequality indexed by capital B. Now, let us write down Lindeberg's condition. So let us fix some epsilon, and what we want to show, this long formula, is Lindeberg's condition. So we want to show that as n goes to infinity, 1 over log log alpha n, which is essentially the variance of the sum Sn, and then you take the sum in the nth row, you know, of this triangular array, so the sum over all p's, the all primes which are less than or equal than alpha n, this truncated second moment, so expected value of the centered random variable x tilde p squared multiplied with the indicator that the centered random variable's absolute value is greater than epsilon times square root of log log n, which is again essentially the standard deviation. And we want to show that this whole thing goes to zero as n goes to infinity. And this is easy. I claim that if n is big enough, then actually we are summing zeros. Because the indicator just, it indicates an impossible event. Because no matter what the value of epsilon is, no matter how small it is fixed, and epsilon times log log alpha n is going to be, epsilon times the square root of log log alpha n is going to be bigger than 1, because alpha n goes to infinity, and log log alpha n also goes to infinity, so the square root of that goes to infinity, so this epsilon times log log alpha n is going to be greater than 1. If n is large enough. Therefore, what's inside the indicator is an impossible event, therefore the expectation in the Lindeberg's condition is zero in the nth row, so actually from a certain index, this sequence that whose limit needs to be zero is actually zero, so Lindeberg's condition holds. And therefore, we can indeed apply Lindeberg's theorem to conclude that the central limit theorem for Sn holds. And probably we also have to use Schlutzky along the way. And this is the end of the proof of the lemma, which was the central limit theorem for Sn. Alright, moving on. Let us introduce some further notation. So there is this thing that I'm going to define S star n. This is defined in equation capital E. So this is Sn minus log log n divided by square root of log log n. And similarly, there is T star n defined in equation capital F, which is Tn minus log log n divided by square root of log log n. Remember that we have just proved in the previous lemma that this S star n converges weakly to standard normal, and this is equation capital G. But what we want to prove, so this is what we agreed on the previous page, what we want to prove is the central limit theorem for Tn, so we want to show that T star n goes to standard normal as n goes to infinity, and this is equation capital H. So, we want to use this equation capital G to conclude equation capital H. But actually we will use a corollary of equation capital G. Namely, you will prove in homework 9.1 that for every k, the the limit of s star n raised to the kth power and the expectation of that converges as n goes to infinity to the kth moment of the standard normal distribution. So once again, we want to conclude from the weak convergence of s star n to standard normal that also the kth moment of s star n converges to the kth moment of the normal random variable. This statement is non-trivial and it's your homework, and it's not so this statement does not immediately follow from the weak convergence stated in equation capital G, and the equivalent definition of weak convergence that we usually use, because this function that maps, so if the function gx equals x to the kth power, it's not a bounded function. It's continuous, but it's not a bounded function of f, so it does not immediately follow from weak convergence that the expected value of g of Sn star converges to the expected value of gx, because this is not a bounded function, so some extra argument is needed, and this is what you will give in homework 9.1. But now in this proof, we will use this statement, we will use equation indexed by capital I. And then we will use this to conclude that a similar statement holds for the moments of t star n. So we will use that the moments of s star n converge to the moments of standard normal to somehow conclude that the moments of t star n converge to the moments of standard normal. And then, when we are done with this, we will conclude the convergence of t star n to standard normal from this. So this is kind of a convoluted argument, but let's see the details. So somehow, this is what we will do on the next page.